Now we continue with our series with regards to Muslim communities. We join on the line by Mulana Yusuf Bimat. Mulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa sahab.
How are you this evening, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, we are very well here in PE. Alhamdulillah, we had a bit of rain, so we are quite happy, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, the same this side, alhamdulillah, all going well. Mulana, what do you have planned for us for this evening?
For this evening, inshallah, Muqtisab, I think we will focus on Islam in, or Muslim communities in Jordan and Islam in Jordan today, focusing on the historical sites that one could visit today, as well as a little bit of the trip which I undertook there a few years ago. I think it was 11 years ago, to be precise. So, inshallah, that is what we will discuss this evening, inshallah.
Inshallah, we look forward to it. We begin with the discussion, Mulana.
Inshallah ta'ala. So I think maybe we can just recap very briefly what we discussed last week with regard to the history of Jordan. So we began saying that Jordan has an ancient history as well, predating Islam. There were a number of people who had conquered, nations who had conquered this region, from the Greeks to the Romans to the Nabataeans even before them. And thereafter, with the advent of Islam, the first meeting that Muslims had with Jordan was the Battle of Mu'ta. And we will discuss a little bit of that today, inshallah, or where one can actually go to the site where the Battle of Mu'ta took place. And thereafter, we discussed the history in terms of the Sahaba, in terms of the Umayyads, when Damascus was the capital and Jordan had prospered, or this region had prospered from the Umayyad Empire, and then through the Abbasids, and we moved over to a more recent history with the Arab revolt against the Ottomans and the breakaway and the formation of the state of Jordan as we have it today. So looking at Jordan today, it's known as the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, the ruling family of the Hashemite family. The religion of the population of Jordan is they are majority Muslim, 95% being Sunni, and a few small minority being Shia, and of the remaining 5% is made up of Shia. There are Druze as well, and a few other religions. There are a significant but significant Christian population as well in Jordan today. There are many Christian historical sites which are still in Jordan today, and that's why many tourists go to Jordan to visit these Christian sites in particular. Looking at the trip which we undertook to Jordan a few years back, an overview of the country of Jordan, Jordan known as Urdun. I think many South Africans have, or would, if they have traveled abroad, they would have gone to Jordan. It's fairly easy to get to the country. No visas are required. It is a more modern country. It is rather expensive for ourselves, and with the rand dropping at the moment, it's even worse. At the time, and even now, the Jordanian dinar is stronger than the US dollar. So it becomes quite expensive for people visiting. It's very modern. There's quite a bit of development that has taken place in terms of infrastructure and others. It's so modern, and it has such a close relationship with the Western powers that people even joke that it is the 51st state of the USA, because it is so, they have such a good relationship with the USA. There is definitely lots to do in Jordan. Many people go there and have a wonderful time. Depending on what mindset you are going with or what you are looking for, if a person is going to look for historical sites, and as I had just come from Syria, which is, I would think, a more authentic or surreal, ancient, traditional old cities of Syria, if you come to Jordan, it's very different. If you come in with that mindset, you will actually be quite disappointed to find it very modern, with these international franchises galore. You find it very different to the ancient Syria, or what Syria used to be. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for our brothers and sisters there. In terms of the population, more than half of the population is of Palestinian origin. Their ancestors had come there as refugees about 7 decades ago. They have assimilated and integrated into society totally, and they are now Jordanians, as we would know them. And in actual fact, Jordan is the only country to have assimilated the Palestinian refugees to this successively, or successfully rather. And none of the other countries have given them the same status as Jordan has. In any case, in terms of my trip, we had arrived through the land border driving from Syria. So we had we drove from Damascus. I remember it was about 5 hours journey from Damascus to Amman. Our wonderful transport was a 1960 Dodge Chrysler, which had was jam-packed with quite a few people in the back seat and three of us, including the driver, in the front seat, in the front row, and we had managed to cross the border and come into Amman. Amman being the capital of Jordan, it is, as described, you know, very busy, bustling, expensive city. It's very modern. As I said, there isn't this real feel of history that one would get in Amman. It was something was quite odd that we found there, that the masjid, they have one main masjid, a beautiful masjid in the middle of the city, and the muezzin would call out the adhan in that masjid. And in the rest of the masjid in Amman would just have speakers linked to that masjid, and there wouldn't be different adhans, different muezzinim in all the other masjid. I'm not sure if it has changed or not, but that's how it was when we were there. There are a number of places to visit in Amman which bear Islamic significance. The one area we went to, where a number of students from around the world go to, is the Kharab Shah district. That's the name of an old family there. There's a wonderful Arabic learning institute which caters specifically for non-Arabs. It's called the Qasid Institute. I think there are quite a few South Africans who have been there as well. It's very professionally run. It's an Arabic college catering for non-Arabs, as we said, and the ustad and the asatiza, they are non-Arab experts in the field as well. So they've spent their lives learning Arabic, and they've managed to bring it across in a much more enjoyable manner for the students to learn, even grammar, which can be quite tedious and monotonous at times. They've made it very interesting. So Qasid Institute is definitely something that is worth visiting. A sheikh of the tasawwuf of the Shafi'i tariqa, Sheikh Nur Hamim Keller, he is a very famous Shafi'i jurist. He's also based in the same area as well. Many people go to the place of the Ashab al-Kahf, which is the people of the cave, which is situated in just outside Amman. When I was in Syria in the very same year, we had managed to meet a very famous scholar. His name is Dr. Shawqi Abu Khalil, rahimahullah. He had passed away in, I think, 2009. He had written the book which is found throughout South Africa, known as the Atlas of the Holy Quran. That is translated in the English as well. So Atlas of the Quran, or the English version as well. He is the author of that book. And he has pinpointed the places in the world where stories mentioning the Quran are found today. So I asked him specifically regarding Ashab al-Kahf, and he mentioned to me that there are three places in the world where people claim it to be, and the one in Jordan is not the most authentic version or narration. It could possibly be that cave, but more likely it is in a place, I think he said, in Turkey somewhere. So there is Ashab al-Kahf, but as we said, it's not the most authentic, according to him. The Qabr of Shu'aib alayhi salam is also found just outside Amman, some distance people can visit. And just a note for those going to these countries or wanting to visit these qubur as well, the places where the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are believed to have been buried, there is maybe a 30 or 40% chance that it is exactly that spot. It happened, millennia ago, so we are not exactly sure where the place is, but most likely it could have been in this area, so people have qubur there. So we should not take it as 100% concrete evidence that these are the places where they are buried, but it could be a possible place. So Shu'aib alayhi salam is believed to have been buried in the Abd al-Qabr, which we had visited. There is the Markaz al-Tabligh, Madinat al-Hujjaj, there is a masjid there as well. The Zarqa University, where other South Africans have gone to study Arabic. and also have an enjoyable time. They have been there to Zarqa University. So that's Amman. If we go further north, there's a little town called Ajloun. And Ajloun is a quaint little town up in the mountains, these little stone homes. You'd find goats ducking under decade-old fences, children playing outside. You see the elderly men wearing their kufaya, sitting at the entrances to their houses, watching the cars go by. So it's a wonderful atmosphere in many of these villages and small little towns. Ajloun is one of them. The main attraction there is the Qasr of Salah al-Din, the fort of Salah al-Din. It was an old ministry in the days gone by. In 1184, Salah al-Din's general, Izzuddin Usama, he had renovated it and transformed this monastery into a castle and into a fort. It controlled the traffic along the route connecting Damascus and Egypt. And I think Reynald the Shatina, the one who had one of the crusaders, he had been kept in the dungeons in that particular castle. The crusaders in there, where they had launched their crusades, the furthest incursions had reached was this fort itself, and they hadn't been further south thereafter. So this is the Qasr of Salah al-Din. Further north is a town called Irbid. We were dissuaded from going there. What is significant about that place is that it is where the Battle of Yarmouk took place. The Battle of Yarmouk we did not discuss last week, but inshallah we will, when we do discuss Syria, we will discuss it. But the battle was fought on the, in that area. Today there is a military base, so even if a person does go there, we were told that we wouldn't be able to actually go to the battle site we wouldn't be given access in any way. So we did not go there, but that is north of Ajloun. More to the west of Amman, we have the Jordan Valley, the very famous Jordan Valley, where the River Jordan flows as well. In this area, there are a number of Sahaba who are buried here. The reason why they are buried here is in the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu, there was a plague, the Ta'un Amwas, the plague of Amwas. Amwas was the name of a little town, and the plague was known as the plague of Amwas, named after this little town where it began. It was a devastating plague. Up to 20 or even 30,000 people were killed. A number of Sahaba had passed away during this plague. Many of them, real luminaries, great Sahaba, leaders of the Muslims in that area. After having conquered that place, they had passed away due to this plague. So among them, if you one goes there, you would find the different qubur. One of them would be of Shurahbil bin Hasana radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Shurahbil bin Hasana, he was a scribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a venerable companion. He was one of those who had migrated to Abyssinia initially. He was brave, intelligent, and he participated in the Battle of Yarmouk, and he was one of the generals of the Muslim army. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had made him the, a leader of the army which was sent to Greater Syria in the area of Jordan. So he was the Amir of that particular battalion. So he was a very well-known Sahabi. He had passed away. On the very same day, the leader of Fatih al-Sham, the conqueror of Sham, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, he had also passed away. Amin Wahad al-Ummah, that was his title. So he had also passed away from this very plague, and he's also buried in the Jordan Valley. Mu'adh bin Jabal, the faqih of this ummah, he was also he's also buried. He had also passed away from the plague and also buried there. Dirar bin Azwar radiallahu anhu, the sahabi, the very brave sahabi, he is also buried in this area in the Jordan Valley. There is also the qabr of Yusha bin Nun. We know the disciple of Musa alayhi salam, who was also a prophet, and who had also conquered Jerusalem, if I remember correctly. He is also, there is a qabr there, a very long qabr which is there, saying, denoting that he was a very tall man. Allahu A'lam, as we said, we do not know regarding the graves of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam for sure. It happened a very long time ago, so we can take it with a pinch of salt, as we say, that it is possible that it could be the qabr, but we are not 100% sure. So that is in the Jordan Valley. If you go south of Amman, there are a number of other places of interest. One is the Dead Sea. One is a place called Karak, where the Battle of Mu'tah took place. And here we are I'm taking another trip. There were a group of students who were studying at Qasid. They were from the Jamia, the Jamiat in Johannesburg. They were the very first students, and they had been there for 3 or 4 months. And we had met them, and when we had all got together, our colleague from Darul Ulum Zakaria, who is from Jordan, his name is Brother Muthanna, Hafiz Muthanna, and we had arranged with him, and he had hired a minibus for us, and we drove to Karak, which was 150 kilometers away. We had left, unfortunately, a bit late. It was 12:30 at night, and in the middle of Ramadan, and we went to this masjid where the Sahaba and the three of the Sahaba who are martyred, they are buried. We have Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, Ja'far radiallahu anhu, and Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu is also buried about 0.5 kilometer away. So we got to the masjid. It was obviously in the early hours of the morning. It was Ramadan. The guard had allowed us to sleep in the masjid before suhoor. We were obviously quite fatigued. And we had made our suhoor was biscuits and water. And thereafter we had made Fajr Salah in the very masjid where Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu and Ja'far radiallahu anhu are buried. And if you do remember last week, we discussed the Battle of Mu'tah, where Zayd bin Haritha was the Amir, and after he was martyred, Ja'far radiallahu anhu had taken over from him, and he was also martyred in that battle. So these two Sahaba are buried there. The third Amir of that battle, Abdullah bin Rawaha, he is buried at another masjid about 0.5 kilometer away from there. So after that, we had witnessed the sunrise on the plains of the battle where the sun of the Romans had begun to set, in actual fact, meaning the plains of Mu'tah. And the calm and peace of the morning and of the battle plains had belied what these stones had actually witnessed once upon a time. So we had visited the plains of the Battle of Mu'tah as well. We then drove through the mountains towards the Dead Sea. We drove past numerous five-star hotels which had lined the shore on the Dead Sea. We do know as Muslims, we advise against going for entertainment or for holiday making to places where the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had descended. And so we had seen the Dead Sea, but we drove past without stopping there. And that night, Brother Muthanna had treated us to supper at his house in a place called Ma'duba, where he stays. And they had prepared a feast, alhamdulillah, for us, a huge platter with heaps of rice and meat. And despite us fasting and enduring the heat during the day's travel, the 10 of us were there had eaten to our full, but we hadn't made any dent in that mountain of rice which was before us. So we had made our Taraweeh Salah there, and thereafter, actually some of our South African brothers had led the Taraweeh Salah in the masjid there, and thereafter we returned to Amman. And the following day we departed for Petra. We had discussed Petra as well last week. It is the site where the Nabataeans had built their homes carved out of stone. It's about a 3 hours drive from Amman, and it's truly a wonder of the world. It is the biggest tourist attraction here in Jordan. It's not just that homes were carved from stone, but they have survived over 2 millennia. So that obviously speaks something about the capabilities in terms of building. So it's really something to see. It was a 4-kilometer walk in the heat. The only modes of transport in this little city are donkeys, camels, and horses. And if you would wish to pay in dollars or dinars, a person should feel free to go ahead and do so. And we had our iftar at a desert camp in Wadi Ram that evening, some distance off. And just one little incident to end off, inshallah ta'ala. At the desert camp, it was Ramadan, we were fasting, it was very hot, we had a long day. We had climbed up a mountain to witness the magnificent sunset. And we were unsure of the exact time of iftar, and we had begun making dua for at the time of iftar. But we didn't have worried about the exact time of sunset, for even though we were in the middle of the desert, we heard the adhan loud and clear right in the middle of the desert, high up on the mountain. We were truly amazed, and we were wondering, where is this adhan coming from? And we were really taken aback. It's only then that we realized that it was being called out at a village a few kilometers away, and due to the exceptional silence and stillness of the desert, the sound had carried right to us. And it was a really unforgettable experience, not just the iftar, but the Maghrib Salah, which was performed on a boulder jutting out of, of this mountain, perched on top overlooking this beautiful valley. It was really something that we will not forget in a hurry. So those are some of the sites that one would get to see in Jordan. And I hope I gave a little bit of, painted some picture of what Jordan is like today. As I said, there isn't that much in Islamic history compared to its neighbors, but it does. It is definitely significant, and there are still things and places to visit in Jordan.
Isa has given us a great insight. Moulin, you spoke about the cave. I had the opportunity of visiting the cave. I wasn't given the opportunity to extensively tour Jordan. It was just when we were on our way to the Nafil Itikaf in Masjid al-Aqsa that we crossed through Jordan. And that was the only place that we really, and some of the other maqamat. It is a unique city, and I found it rather rather strange, or what we say, rather lighthearted, that you say that people go there for their studies and other things, and it gives us insight to the various types of activities that are do go on in Jordan. My own experience, I think it's the there's a masjid in the center of town. I can't really recall, is it the Hassan bin Ali Masjid or what is it? And we performed the Taraweeh Salah. What was strange there was the Imam read very short rakats.
Yes.
And then when after the Taraweeh was completed in 8 rakats, we seen a big stand with a huge Quran. And what he was doing was he was reading his 2 rakats from the 2 pages and looking inside. And that was a strange phenomenon. And then more strange than that was that after the Taraweeh Salah completed, in the city center, there were fireworks and this whole festive feeling that came about. People were doing their shopping, and it felt some like, like a mini Eid at night. So that's just some of the recollections. It was a unique experience, undoubtedly.
I do remember that masjid as well, Muftat, and we also had performed Taraweeh Salah at masjid and witnessed the same thing. It is the main masjid in Jordan where the Adhan is called out as well. And we had witnessed the same thing, quite taken aback coming from South Africa, yes.
Absolutely. We've covered a number of countries over the last few weeks, alhamdulillah. Perhaps as we close off this evening, you can remind the listeners, and then when we recommence with the program, inshallah, what do you plan to cover?
Okay, so just a very brief understanding of what the program is all about. As we discussed right in the beginning, I think it was sometime last year, we are focusing on Islam traveling around the world. So how Islam had reached different parts of the world and different countries, and then what Islam and Muslim communities are there today. And obviously if somebody has been to that country, we will get some report back from them. So we began with Africa, being in South Africa. We began in South Africa. We traveled up the East Coast and then to Central Africa, to Mali, and then we ended up with North Africa. And that completed our history of Islam and of what Islam is in Africa today. We then moved on to the Arabian Peninsula, right in the south with Yemen. We then moved up the east coast as well, the Bahrain region. And we moved to Saudi Arabia, which was quite extensive. And now we've just completed Jordan. So inshallah ta'ala, going forward, we hope to finish the Arabian Peninsula and just north where Syria and Palestine lie. And thereafter, we can move to Asia, to India and Bangladesh and to Central Asia as well, where we can discuss Uzbekistan. And inshallah, we move to the Far East thereafter, to Thailand, China, and these countries. And then we can come back to Europe and then to the Americas, inshallah, ta'ala, right at the end, inshallah. So that is the idea at this stage.
It has been really, really informative. It is as though you've taken us on a journey to these countries, bringing the history alive and also filling us in and keeping us informed on the current situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you abundantly, and we look forward to the future programs, inshallah.
It's been fascinating for me as well to delve into the history, what I find most fascinating in actual fact is to see how the history ties up with different areas of the world at the same time. And I think that was most fascinating for myself.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take you from strength to strength, and we look forward to taking the program forward, inshallah.
Jazakallahu khairan.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Mulana Yusuf Behmat speaking to us about Jordan this evening, a contemporary look to Jordan and some of the important sites to visit, as well as what is current modern day Jordan also like at this present time.